And you can turn to chapter 12, Exodus chapter 12. Continuing this series that I've been doing in Exodus, preaching through the book of Exodus. And last week, we looked at the nine plagues, of Exodus. And we saw the reason that God was doing that. The most obvious reason lines up with the theme of the book of Exodus, and that is deliverance in a word, but deliverance, or God's purpose in deliverance, and that is to know Him. And that's also what He was doing in the plagues. He was trying to reveal Himself, and also He was judging the Egyptians and their gods. So these plagues are recorded for us in Exodus 7 through 13, chapter 7 through 13. And tonight I'd like us to look at the last three chapters of that section, chapters 11, 12, and 13. And in some of these chapters, God tells us what's going to happen in that 10th plague. And but the bulk of the material in these three chapters is about what to do to remember what happened. And He gives all these instructions about what will happen. But to start off this evening, I'd like us to read the account of what happened in this 10th plague. And we see that recorded in Exodus 12, beginning in verse 29. So look at Exodus 12, 29. And follow along as I read this account of what happened as the Lord brought judgment upon the Egyptians, revealed Himself, and delivered His people in this 10th plague. And it came to pass that at midnight the Lord smote all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sat on his throne unto the firstborn of the captive that was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of the cattle. And Pharaoh rose up in the night, he and all his servants and all the Egyptians, and there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where there was not one dead. And he called for Moses and Aaron by night and said, "Rise up and get you forth from among my people, both ye and the children of Israel, and go serve the Lord as ye have said, and also take your flocks and your herds as ye have said, and be gone, and bless me also." And the Egyptians were urgent upon the people that they might send them out of the land in haste, for they said, "We be all dead men." And the people took their dough before it was leavened, their kneading troughs being bound up in their clothes upon their shoulders. And the children of Israel did according to the word of Moses. And they borrowed of the Egyptians jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment. And the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, so that they lent unto them such things as they required. And they spoiled the Egyptians. And the children of Israel journeyed from Ramses to Succoth, about 600,000 on foot that were men beside children. And a mixed multitude went up also with them, and flocks and herds, even very much cattle. And they baked unleavened cakes of dough, which they brought forth out of Egypt, for it was not leavened, because they were thrust out of Egypt and could not tarry, neither had they prepared for themselves any victual. Now the sojourning of the children of Israel who dwelt in Egypt was 430 years. And it came to pass at the end of the 430 years, even the selfsame day, it came to pass that all the hosts of the Lord went out from the land of Egypt. It is a night to be much observed unto the Lord for bringing them out of the land of Egypt. This is that night of the Lord to be observed of all the children of Israel in their generations. Probably one of our most obvious flaws, one of my most obvious flaws, maybe yours too, is forgetting things. You know, there's all kinds of ways that you can help yourself with that problem. And, one thing I've noticed being a new parent is the fact that I at least sometimes feel like I'm forgetting some things all the time. You know, in fact, sometimes I even feel like I'm forgetting Lillian. I don't know if you've ever had that feeling when you're driving down the road and you don't hear any noise and you have this vision of a car seat sitting in a parking lot and the baby's just sitting there. It's never happened to me, But I could see myself doing that, not intentionally, of course, but because I know that tendency. And well, we'll see what happens tonight. I don't know. Another, you know, having children, you realize your flaws. And the other night, actually, we were at the fair, and we had to make an emergency diaper change. And I was out there in the car doing that, and realized that I didn't have all the items I needed to do that. And so I did something else to, get it done. And today I realized that I had forgotten that we had an emergency diaper changing kit in the trunk of the car the whole time. And all the supplies were right there. But I forgot about it. And, that you can probably think of times where you've forgotten something that was super important. Maybe it was a child, or, surely no one would actually do that. But that's something that we do. And much of the material here in Exodus 11 through 13, much of these verses contain God's instruction for his people to remember his deliverance. That's what God wants his people to do. He wants them to remember his deliverance. And in these chapters, we see how he wants them to remember his deliverance. And the main way is through the Passover. He gives them the feast of the Passover. We think of the Passover as just one thing or one event, but it actually was multifaceted. There was other things going on there that are all kind of considered together in the Passover. So tonight, what I'd like to do is look at three ways that God wanted his people to remember his deliverance. I want you to see three ways that God wanted his people to remember his deliverance. And the first way is the way that probably all of us automatically think of when we think of the Passover. And that is by the sacrifice of the Passover lamb. He wanted his people to remember his deliverance, first of all, by the sacrifice of the Passover lamb. And in various sections of verses throughout this section, God gives instructions for what to do. Turn back to the beginning of chapter 12. We read the account of what happened, but even before we read about what happened, God is giving instructions about what to do in order to remember this event. And the first instruction that he gives is the selection of this sacrifice. And we read about that in Exodus 12, beginning in verse 3. Look at Exodus 12, 3. God tells Moses, "Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the tenth day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls, every man according to his eating, shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats." So first of all, God is giving some instructions here about the selection of this sacrifice. It's supposed to be an unblemished, male, year-old lamb, or it could be a goat also. So he gives these instructions. We could read on about the procedures there. They were to kill this lamb at twilight on the 14th day of the month. In verse 6, we read about that. And then in verse 7, look at verse 7, we see what they're supposed to do with the blood. Look at Exodus 12, 7. "They shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door of the houses wherein they shall eat." And we will see why that's significant for them in this event. But there's also a meal that they're supposed to eat. They're supposed to eat a meal together, and they eat this lamb or goat that they've killed. And there's specific instructions about how they're to cook it. They're not supposed to boil it. They're supposed to roast it over coals. And they're supposed to eat it with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. And then also there's instruction about how they're to eat it in verse 11. Look at verse 11. And thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, your staff in your hand. Ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. And there's also instruction about who is supposed to eat it. There wasn't supposed to be any foreigners that come in and eat this with them, unless they were proselytes, unless they were converts to Judaism. There was exception for that. But what's the significance and purpose of all this? What's the significance of this way that God's people are to remember his deliverance? Well, we read about that in verse 12, the significance here. We see that it's the means of protection from the 10th plague. Look at verse 12. God says, "For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt." So this sacrifice was the way that God was going to protect his people from this death in the land of Egypt. It was the means of protection. And what's the purpose? Of course, we've already talked about the purpose. The purpose is so that they would remember God's deliverance. And we see that in verse 14. They were supposed to keep this into the future. "And this shall be unto you for a memorial, and ye shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. Ye shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever." And so that highlights the purpose. They were supposed to remember this event, God's act of deliverance, by this sacrifice. So God wanted his people to remember. He wants them not to forget, to remember. And they're supposed to do this by the sacrifice of the Passover lamb. So that's the first way. That's the first way God wants his people to remember. And that's the way that we normally think of when we hear the word Passover. But there's more to the Passover than just that sacrifice. And that we learn about that in the second way that God wants his people to remember his deliverance. And that second way is by keeping the feast of unleavened bread. By keeping the feast of unleavened bread. First way is by sacrificing the Passover lamb. Second way, by keeping the feast of unleavened bread. And there's a lot of instruction about this feast at different sections within chapters 11 through 13. But again, God gives instruction for what they're supposed to do. And you probably remember this from Sunday school, but remember the people were supposed to go throughout their houses and clear out all of the leaven that they had. And they couldn't eat any leaven. And it didn't just last for one day. This was a feast that lasted for 7 days. They made the sacrifice of this Passover lamb in the evening, and then starting the next day began the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and they kept that for 7 days. They couldn't eat any leaven. And there were to be two assemblies at the beginning and end of that 7 day period. And you say, well, what's the significance of that? Why go through all that trouble to remove all the leaven, to only eat unleavened bread? Well, we read the significance of that. You remember when this Exodus occurred, they did not have this leavened bread. They had unleavened bread. Look at Exodus 12:39. We read that already, but let's look at it again. It says, "And they baked unleavened cakes of dough which they brought forth out of Egypt, for it was not leavened, because they were thrust out of Egypt and could not tarry." So the significance of that points back to what happened when they left Egypt. They left in such haste. They didn't have this leaven in their bread. But what's the purpose of this? Well, the purpose is the same as the first way And that's to remember God's deliverance. But I want you to see that and turn to chapter 13. Look at chapter 13. God gives instructions about this feast. And in verse 6, you see how long they're supposed to do it, 7 days. Verse 7, unleavened bread shall be eaten 7 days. And then we get to verse 8, and here's why they're supposed to do that. And thou shalt show thy son in that day, saying, this is done because of that which the Lord did unto me when I came forth out of Egypt. And it shall be for a sign unto thee upon thine hand, and for a memorial between thine eyes, that the Lord's law may be in thy mouth. For with a strong hand hath the Lord brought thee out of Egypt. Thou shalt therefore keep this ordinance in his season from year to year. So again, God is telling them, I want you to keep this feast because I want you to remember my deliverance that I gave to you when I sent you out of Egypt. So those are two ways. First way that God wants his people to remember his deliverance is by that sacrifice of the Passover lamb. The second way is by the keeping of the feast of unleavened bread for 7 days. But there's also a third way to remember God's deliverance. And that is by the consecration of all firstborn sons and male animals. By the consecration of all firstborn sons and male animals. That's the third way. And those instructions are given in chapter 13 here, verses 11 to 16. And this is something that the Israelites were supposed to do on a continual basis. It wasn't just during a certain season, but they were supposed to do it, you know, at all times. They were supposed to consecrate, devote to the Lord, firstborn of their families and also of their animals. And those firstborn of their animals, of course, those were sacrifices, but, you know, how would they devote to the Lord their children? Well, the Lord made provision for that. And he instructed them to redeem their children with an animal. So they would sacrifice this animal and recognize that that firstborn son was redeemed by that sacrifice. And there was no human sacrifice here. But the significance of that obviously was a reminder of what God did in that 10th plague. He spared all those sons, those firstborn, both animals and sons of the Israelites. And when they had this firstborn child, they dedicated, that served as a reminder to them of God's deliverance and of God's grace to them. He allowed them to keep this son. They were able to redeem it. And there's a word in verse 12, chapter 13, verse 12, that also shows the significance there. Look at chapter 13, verse 12. God is giving an instruction here concerning this way to remember his deliverance. He says that thou shalt set apart unto the Lord all that openeth the matrix, every firstling that cometh out of a beast which thou hast, the male shall be the Lord's. And that word, set apart, that's translated set apart here, is the same verb that's used in chapter 12, verse 13. It's translated pass through. Look back at chapter 12, verse 13. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. I'm sorry, pass over. That's how it's also translated. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. So in the instruction about this way to remember God's deliverance, he uses the same terminology of the Passover. And so even in the instruction, God is pointing at the significance of this. It's to remember what God did in sparing all of you and your children. So there's a connection there to the events. And again, the purpose of this consecration is to remember God's deliverance. And we see that in chapter 13, verse 14. Look at chapter 13, verse 14. God has just given this instruction concerning the consecration of the firstborn. And here's why, verse 14. And it shall be when thy son asketh thee in time to come, saying, what is this? That thou shalt say unto him, by the strength of the hand of the Lord brought us out from Egypt, from the house of bondage. And it came to pass, when Pharaoh would hardly let us go, that the Lord slew all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both the firstborn of man and the firstborn of beast. Therefore I sacrifice to the Lord all that openeth the matrix, being males, but all the firstborn of my children I redeem. And it shall be for a token upon thine hand, and for frontlets between thine eyes. For by the strength of the hand of the Lord brought us forth out of Egypt. So that's just the Lord telling them why they're doing this, so that you remember what I did. So this is something you need to keep on doing. You probably noticed that there's an emphasis here on the fact that God expects His people to continue observing these ways to remember God's deliverance. He says you're to do this for an ordinance forever. And that raises a question for us. Do we need to keep these ways of remembering God's deliverance? Do we need to keep the Passover? Because if we are supposed to do that, do you do that? Is that something you celebrate in your home? Do we celebrate that as a church? Is that something for the church? Are we obligated to do that? Well, I would argue that we are not obligated to keep those ways that the Lord has set forth. And the reason for that is found, first of all, in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. I'd like you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. This is a passage where Paul is reproving the Corinthians for their toleration of one who was in sin, in obvious sin, sexual immorality. And so that's the context here. But here in this chapter, we find two elements of the Passover are combined with a new significance for New Testament believers. And those two elements are the Feast of Unleavened Bread and the sacrifice. I want you to look at verse 6. 1 Corinthians 5, verse 6. Paul says, "Your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened." And so what Paul is doing here is making a comparison between leaven and sin. In this case, the sin of sexual immorality that was present in the church at Corinth. And so Paul urges them to purge out this sin, this leaven. And the reason is, we see in the second part of verse 7, that Christ is our Passover who has been sacrificed. Look at verse 7. He says, "For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us." So Christ is called our Passover. He's identified as our Passover lamb. And of course, when you think back to the events of Jesus' death, you know that He was crucified during that celebration of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, that Passover week. And there's other similarities between Jesus' death and the requirements for the lamb. Remember, His bones were not broken. That was a requirement for that Passover lamb. And also, we could go to 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 19. And Peter says that we were redeemed not with corruptible things, but, verse 19, with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb, without blemish and without spot. There's clearly the reference there to the Passover lamb. And that's identified as Jesus Christ. You say, well, how does that prove that we're not supposed to keep the Passover? Well, this passage shows the finality of the death of Jesus Christ as our Passover sacrifice. Verse 7 says, for even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. That points to the finality of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And then look at verse 8. We're encouraged to celebrate the feast of the unleavened bread, but notice how Paul interprets that. Look at verse 8, 1 Corinthians 5, 8. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. So Paul's identifying that leaven with sin there, malice and wickedness, and he's urging us to celebrate that feast, but in a different way. And so I think those verses show us that the Passover is something that has been reinterpreted for us as New Testament believers. Because of the finality there, mainly. But also, another reason is because of the apparent replacement of the Passover with the Lord's Supper. You remember that when Jesus ate the Last Supper with his disciples, they were celebrating that meal, that Passover meal. Matthew 26, we can read about that. And that was the time when Jesus instituted this ordinance of the Lord's Supper. And so it seems that, you know, that's one indication that the Passover has been replaced or reinterpreted by the Lord's Supper. And it's also interesting that that the Lord has the same purpose for the Lord's Supper as he did with the Passover. The purpose of the Passover and all those events associated with it was what? He wanted his people to remember his deliverance, deliverance from the bondage of Egypt. And you remember when Jesus instituted the supper, the Lord's Supper, when he took each element, when he took the cup, and when he took the bread and he broke it, what did he say? This do in remembrance of me. And so the purpose is the same. God wants us to remember Jesus and the deliverance that he has offered to us. Not from the bondage of Egypt, but from the bondage of our sin. And he offers that to each one of you. He offers you deliverance from sin and its consequences and its punishment. But he doesn't want you to forget about it. He wants you to remember. And he knows our tendency to forget. All of us are aware of our tendency to do that. And so he has given us this way that we can remember his deliverance, remember all that he's done for us. And so that's why we are doing this tonight, is to remember the deliverance that was given to us through the death of Christ. His body was broken, his blood was shed. We remember that. That's one way that that we can celebrate the Passover, but in a different way. In a way that is for us as the church, as New Testament believers. Shall we pray together? Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have provided this way for us to remember you. You know our tendency to forget, and we don't want to forget, Lord, all that you have done through Jesus Christ. And we pray that you would help us, Lord, as we think about your Son tonight, as we observe the table. We pray that our minds would be fixed upon you and help us not to forget. Help us to purge out the leaven in our lives, things that would displease you. And we pray that you help us to reflect tonight and to confess those things that we need to, and make sure that we are in fellowship with you as we do this. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like you to turn in your hymnal to hymn number 1.